Is there anybody in the house today besides me that knows how good God really is? Has he been good to you this week? Has he been good to you, church? Am I the only one who sometimes forgets the goodness of God? Huh? Are we sometimes short-sighted, or we have spiritual amnesia? Huh? We forget what he did last week. Huh? If you can't say amen, say ouch. Sometimes we forget what he did yesterday. Goliath or some mountain, some problem raises its head in front of us, and we forget that God delivered us yesterday. He delivered us a week ago. He rescued us a month ago. He did it before church. Guess what? He'll do it again. Amen? He's good all the time. No matter the temporary obstacle that you face or that circumstance that you seem trapped in, he is our deliverer. Amen? Did you hear the song they say? Do you believe that he is who he said he is? I pose a question to you today, and I'm going to ask it throughout the day. Do you, Chapel of Change, do you know him? Do you know him? Do you trust in him? Huh? I don't mean know him what your mama told you 20 years ago. I don't mean what Pastor Brian preached to you 2 weeks ago. I mean, do you know him? Did you spend time with him this morning when you got up? Did you talk to him on the way over here, that drive getting here? Do you know him? Amen? That problem, child that you're dealing with, have you given that child to God yet? Have you said, Jesus, you got to do this because I don't know what I'm doing. I'm in over my head. If you're still wrestling with that same problem, you don't know him like you need to know him today, church. Amen? But I got good news for you. It's not too late. Amen? If you have your Bible today, open with me to John chapter 14. I was recently looking at this passage of scripture, and it just pulled me right in. How many times have you gone to the Word of God and just got sucked in? It kept me there for a couple of weeks. I was looking at this one chapter, and it blew me away because you know how big-headed we are sometimes. We want to be all deep. We think we go into the seminary, and we're just trying to swell our heads up all big, getting all theological and philosophical. God whispered this simple. How many of you know we complicate the Word of God? It is the simplicity of the gospel that saves. Amen? God spoke some powerful truth to me. He said, John, do you know me as you should? I was giving him my resume. Well, I've been doing this and doing that. I don't want your resume, John. Do you know me? Man, stopped me in my tracks. Man, I've been doing all this. I don't want to know what you do. I'm with you every day. Do you know me? Challenged by God's word. Has God's word ever challenged you? He challenges us because he wants to push us higher. Amen? That little bitty thing that you want, you've been begging for, he's got a big, big thing for you. But do you want it, church? Do you want it? Because if you want it, it's going to cost. It's going to cost. You're going to have to get to know him a little bit better. Amen? Then that whole treasure chest in heaven just opens up. Before we jump to the text, I want to get a quick recap by visiting John 13. In John chapter 13, Jesus celebrated Passover with his disciples. He actually washed the disciples' feet in John chapter 13. He identified Judas as the one who would betray him. He announced his coming soon. He would be departing. Now, don't forget, this Passover was critical to his ministry. Jesus is wrapping up his earthly ministry. He even foretold of Peter and his denial. Amen. That was in John 13:38. For more than 3 years, you got to get this, for more than 3 years, these disciples had practically lived with Jesus. It's not like the discipleship today, our idea of discipling. If we were in that day, Pastor Brian, wherever he's at, Brother Raymond, Pastor Faye, they'd be with him on vacation. Amen? The guys that we mentor as pastors, if we rightly disciple them in Jesus' time, the disciple was never separated from his master, his teacher. Amen? So they lived together day in and day out. And as Jesus is finishing up his earthly ministry, the disciples have watched him. They watched him raise the dead, cast out demons, heal all kind of sickness. Miracle after miracle after miracle, they have watched him for 3 full years. Amen. And in that time, they had full opportunity to learn of his character and his mission from God. Amen. In 3 years, they had time to learn. How long did you say you've been a Christian, Matt? 25 years. How long have you been following Jesus, Chapel of Change? Have you learned of his character? Have you learned of his mission? Do you really believe he is who he said he was? It should change things for you. Amen? I got one more for you. How long have you been following Chapel of Change? How long have you been here with Pastor Brian? Do you know of his character? Do you know of the mission that he's on? If you do, if you know him, next time he asks you to do something, it won't be, oh, Pastor, you jump right on it if you know him. Amen? These disciples find themselves in a tight place because after 3 years, they realize they don't know Jesus. They're asking him to show us the Father. Amen? And I don't mean a surface level. I don't mean knowing about Jesus. I don't mean what you heard in Sunday school or from some third party. I mean, do you know him? How well do you know him? Amen? John chapter 14, verse 1. The word of God reads, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may also be. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to me except through the Father." Verse 7, "If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it's sufficient for us." Can you believe this, brother? Philip put his foot square in his mouth. "Lord, show us the Father," Jesus said, "and that'll satisfy us." "Where have you been, Philip? Didn't you see me raise the dead? Didn't you see me heal all kind of people? Didn't you see people touching me, being restored to full health? Where have you been, Philip? Where were you?" "Show us the Father, and it's sufficient for us." Verse 9, Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and yet You have not known me, Philip. He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Amen? Philip, what have you been watching? What have you been doing this whole time? How did you miss? I walked by a coffin and you were with me. They were going to bury a young man. I touched that coffin and he stood up. Where were you, Philip? Weren't you there watching? Who can do that but one sent by God? Have you not been with me, Philip, for 3 years? So I ask you, Chapel of Change, how long have you been following Jesus? Do you really know him, or do you just know about him? Amen? Today I have 3 short reflections I want to share with you. This passage was rich, but I just pulled out 3 quick things that I could share with you, and hopefully they will challenge you the way they have challenged me. Somebody say number one. Number one, we are doubtful and forgetful people. Amen? We forget so quick. I almost panic on a weekly basis sometimes. My wife's got to tell me, calm down, relax. Don't you remember? Amen? We forget what God has done, but God slows us down a little bit. After he had gave them all those warnings in chapter 13, after the Passover, he starts chapter 14 with, let not your heart be troubled. Why does he have to tell us to let not our heart be troubled? Because he knows the enemy is going to shoot little fiery darts at us. He knows how easy it is for us to become distracted, discouraged, and depressed, and drop right out of the race. Amen? Has the enemy done anything to trip you up this week? Was it hard getting out here in this heat today? Huh? Throws all kinds of little things at you. Chaos in the home. And we wonder, what's wrong? It's because you're pressing into the things of God. And the enemy wants you to forget how good God really is. Amen? He wants you to forget. He's trying to get you distressed, distracted, and discouraged so he can disqualify you from the blessing that God has in store for you. Amen? You got to keep on pressing. One foot in front of the other. Amen? I can't believe that you said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. You trust in God. Trust also in me. For 3 years, they had trusted him. For 3 years, I don't know, but I got to think Jesus was a little bit perturbed at them. For 3 years, you guys ain't needed nothing. You wanted a lot of stuff, but I've satisfied every need you've had. When there was no food, I made food. I multiplied food so you could eat. When you were thirsty, I gave you a drink. What do you have need of? But here they find themselves in a place. He knows their hearts. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You're going to have to remember, amen? He told them that because the enemy of our soul is always out there. Look at Isaiah 43. Verse 1 and 2, the word of God reads, but now thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through, I want you to get that through. When you pass through, don't worry about what the enemy is saying and whispering to you. When you pass through, what does it say? the waters. I will be with you. Oh, when you go in the fire, he's going to be there too. My brothers and sisters, God sent me to tell you, you are never going to have to go through anything alone. You never have to face any trial, any obstacle alone. He will be right there with you. Amen? What does it say about the fire? When you go through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. You're not going to even smell smoke on you, brother. But you got to trust in it. You know how we get? Sometimes we get halfway through, and there's a blessing, two more steps. We fall out. We give up. Don't give up, my brothers and sisters. Do not give in to the enemy. Amen? He is seeking to discourage you today, but I am here to encourage you that God is on your side. So guess what? You got a majority. It does not matter what's before you. If God is on your side, who can stand against you? Amen? Will you trust him? Now, do you know him well enough to trust him? In the midst of the chaos that's going on at home, in the midst of the confusion in the workplace, will you trust that his perfect will is going to be worked out in your life today? Will you trust him, church? You can't trust him if you don't know him. If you have not spent time getting to know him, I promise you, you are not going to trust him. But if you trust him, if you have built and nurtured that relationship you have, it does not matter what you stand before. You're like, man, it's kind of big, but God is so much bigger. Amen? My bank account is empty today, and I got a lot of bills, so I'm just going to push them across the table to Jesus. I know that he's got the keys to the bank of heaven. Amen? And he calls me his friend. So I'm going to look to my friend for a little bit of help. Amen? And I tell you this, man, God works some strange things. I was in a place at one time in my life where, you know, I was thinking about tithing. Crazy economy of heaven. I'm like, I ain't got enough for this. I ain't got enough for this. I ain't got enough for this. So, okay, you know what? I can't do this. And God touched me. It's like, you better put mine aside first, boy. I start really separating God's from me right off the top and not worrying about anything. And it's just like he blinded the banker's eyes or something, because every month after month, I'm looking at my account. It don't add up. I got more than I should have in my account. And I'm just like, how is this possible? They're going to catch it, so I'm not going to spend it. Well, I can tell you that up until right now today, it's still never been a banking error. But I know my math ain't that bad. I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, but my math ain't that bad. When I give God his, he does a miracle, amen, on my side, amen. So do not be discouraged. Do not be distracted by the ploys of the enemy, amen. He is our constant companion, and he will never let us face anything alone. John 16:33 says, these things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. LBC translation, he says, don't trip. I got you covered. In the world, you will. I hope nobody's ever told you that this Christian life is a tiptoe through the tulips, that we walk around on rose petals and it's nice and easy. You watch Pastor Brian get up here and preach with power and authority. Guess what? It's because of those of you who pray for him and lift him up. And I encourage you to always pray for your leaders, because guess, we got this huge bullseye on us. You had 10 things happen to you to discourage you from coming this week. He had 1,000 things happen to him. Amen. But through it all, we trust in God. Amen. Because we know him. We know his mission. We know of his character. And we know of his unfailing love toward us. Amen. So no matter what we face, no matter what we face, he is going to make us overcomers. Amen. He's looking for a few overcomers out there today. Anybody want to claim a victory in the name of Jesus today? Anybody fighting a battle that is impossible for you to win? Guess what? Nothing is impossible for him. Stop fighting and give it to the one who's never lost. Amen. Stop wrestling with that same problem. You know why you got that same problem? You've been wrestling alone with it for the last 20 years. Oh, brother, I'm just weak in this area. Give it to the strong one in that area. Amen. And you can chalk it up as a victory. Number two, knowing about Jesus is simply not enough. John 14, verse 7. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient to us. Jesus said, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He calls Philip by his name. And I got to think that Jesus had to have a little bit of an attitude with Philip here. Have I been with you this long, man? What are you tripping off? And you're talking about, show us the Father and it sufficeth us. Wouldn't you be, if you had demonstrated the power, the authority that only can come from God in heaven, the creator of the universe, you put this on full display. I say, Pastor Raymond, who are you? Something's wrong with me or I'm blind. So he had to have a little bit of an attitude with Philip. Have I been with you so long and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? If we're honest today, church, all of us have a little bit of Philip in us. All of us, we forget so quick what God did for us yesterday. We forget that we didn't know how we were going to make ends meet 6 months ago. We out there wiping on that new car now and we done forgot it's time to go to church. We forget the giver of the gift. And we start elevating and honoring that gift. But the one who gave it to us, we forget all about it all too quickly sometimes. Amen? We've all seen the hand of God delivering us when we know we should have been done. We were in an impossible situation, no way out, and yet God opened a door for us. We can all say that we've seen the face of God when we were issued a measure of grace or mercy when we know we didn't deserve it. That is the face of God in action. How many of you are glad we serve a God of second, third, and fourth chances? Amen? Where would we be without the grace of God? Knowing about him is simply not enough. I want you to remember that the disciples practically lived with Jesus for 3 years. They watched miracle after miracle. And when you consider the question that Philip asked, how well could they have known him? How well did they get to know him? Were they just looky-loos? Huh? They the paparazzi along for the ride? How well could they have known him if they're asking, show us the Father, and it'll satisfy us? I have to ask you, church, do you know him? Do you know of his mission? Do you know his character? Does he walk with you? Does he talk with you each and every day? Do you listen to him? Are you obedient to his word? Amen? Will you obey his word when he speaks to you? Do you really know him, or do you just know about him? I got to tell you, knowing about him is simply not enough. Amen? But why do you say that, Pastor John? I'm so glad you asked. Turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7, 21. The Word of God reads, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." 22. "Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and did many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who work lawlessness.'" Having that form of godliness, knowing about him, is not going to be enough when he returns. Do you believe he's coming back? Do you believe you're going to meet him one day? Knowing about him. Well, Pastor Brian said, no. Do you know him? Well, my mama told me along, church, do you know him? If you don't know him, it's not too late. But there is going to come a time when you will have to know him for yourself. Amen? There is going to come a day when you will need to know him for yourself. Knowing him, coming to know him. When the Bible speaks about knowing him, it is speaking about coming to know him in the same way that we come to know our spouse or wife. Amen? It's not that superficial knowledge of. It is the gradual getting to know, the falling in love process, amen? To come to know beyond the surface level. That means we got to dig in a little bit. Amen? Matt said something about falling in love for the first time. If you have not fallen in love with Jesus, you don't know Jesus. Amen? If he's not first in your life, you don't know him. You know about him. It's talking about getting to know him deeper. Now, don't forget these disciples. They've been with him side by side for 3 years. They should know him. They should know him. But how many of you know when Big Red comes calling on us, it's never fun for us. He will make us doubt. He will make us doubt. Did he just do that? Yeah, he just raised the dead. You've seen it with your own eyes. You've actually talked to the guy that he raised, and you're asking, did he do it? That's what the enemy does to us. He makes us doubt the power and authority of God in our lives, even though if we can just look back into yesterday, we can see clearly the work of God in our life. But the enemy blinds us. Short-term memory loss. But when we know him. Church, when you know him, it changes everything. No matter what he whispers to you, that must be for somebody else. That's not for me. I know what God said to me. It don't matter what it looked like. It don't matter how I feel today, come hell or high water, I'm getting his best. I don't want my best. I want the promise that he said I was in store for me. Amen? Does anybody here, anybody else want the best of God? Are you sick and tired of just getting by, having your best, my own best efforts? Woo-wee. I don't even want to tell you what my best efforts cost me. But it was certainly nothing compared to God's. move in my life. Amen. And number three, seeing God clearly transforms us completely. John 14:9 says, Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'?" Now, Jesus was not talking about the essence and substance of God, because we know God is invisible. But he was talking about the work, the character, the nature of God, the works. And Jesus said in himself, "If you don't believe me for the work's sake." We've seen the hand of God move. Each and every one of us can bear witness that we've seen the hand and the power of God move in our lives at different times. We've seen his face, as I said earlier. We've seen his face show up when we got something that we weren't expecting. Grace served up on a platter. We know what we deserve. One sin separates us for eternity from God, but his saving grace gives us an inheritance that we can't possibly count. Amen? So Jesus, in this time that he had been with them, he had clearly stated who he was. He referred to himself a couple of times in Scripture. He said, "I am the door. I am the good shepherd, living water. I'm the light of the world. I am the way. I am the truth and the life." Jesus said over and over who he was. But how many of us are like Philip? No matter what God says, when the enemy comes and whispers in our ear, it puts that fear in our hearts. It makes us doubt the power and authority of God. It makes us forget the deliverance, the victory we had yesterday. We forgot all about it. "You can't do that, Pastor Raymond. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Amen. Why is it so important to remember Scripture? So when the enemy whispers in your ear, you can whisper right back. Amen. You don't tell him what you think. Don't tell him what you said. That's going to get you in trouble. But if you quote the word of God, he's going to take off and say, "Oh, I done lost this one." He has no answer for the word of God. But our best thinking is going to get us. We think we wrestling with the enemy. He's going to have us tied up and bound. Amen. So this afternoon, I want to ask you, as I call the worship team back, do you know him, church? Do you know him? I want to leave time. If there's somebody here today who does not have a right relationship with Jesus, it's not too late. I don't mean know about him. I don't mean, "Yeah, I go to Sunday school. I go to church every Sunday because that's what good people do." No, I don't mean that. That's that form of godliness that's going to get you denied in the day of judgment. I mean, do you know him? Do you spend time with him? Does his word challenge you to draw into a closer walk? As the worship team leads us, I want to ask if anybody needs prayer, if anybody desires a closer walk with God, this is your time. God has sent me here today to make sure that each and every one of us will be without excuse. "Oh, I thought I was doing the right thing. I thought I knew." No. Do you know him, church? Today is your day to get to know him better. Today is your day to engage in a closer walk with him. I'm going to invite anybody down who's in need of prayer, anybody who desires a closer walk with Jesus. This is your time.